What's up, everybody? This is Culture Chords.
What's up, everybody? This is Culture Chords, and I'm Merlin. On this episode, we have a upcoming R&B singer and songwriter from Los Angeles. So why don't you tell us, who is Miss Clover?
Yeah, I actually had to think about that one for a little while because I was like, how do I want to present myself? But I guess the generic answer would be that I'm a singer-songwriter, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think Miss Clover is the way that it's my art, essentially. Miss Clover is the art form that I have in the style and the lyrics and in the poetry that I write for the songs. So it's the way that I know how to express myself and talk about the experiences I have in my life and how I view the world. So that's basically what Miss Clover is and what she represents me, at least what I try to do with her.
I like that. That's cute. And I mean, before we talk more about Miss Clover, let's just talk about you as a whole. Like, you're from Los Angeles. I saw that you were born in San Diego. So why don't you tell me more about that? Like, did you start your love for music in San Diego and then brought that to LA?
Actually, my history with music is kind of funny because I grew up in like a really religious household. So my mom and my dad were very strict about the types of music they allowed us to listen to. So when I first started listening to music, it was really just filtered through them. So mainly listened to Christian songs and hymns, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, when my brother got a little older, he got his own little side job, you know, started making his own money. He brought in music from the outside world. And that was my first experience with like music that wasn't, you know, super censored and specifically about like praising God and you know, all of that.
Yeah.
And then I listened to Eminem and Linkin Park. Those were literally the first three that I ever listened to. So that was my introduction.
Mm-hmm.
And I fell in love, you know. When I was younger in elementary school, I got to sing. I personally didn't even know that I could sing very well. I just, you know, was in a class and everybody was like, okay, well, now you sing these notes. And I was like, okay, I'll just the other kids. But it just so happened that some of the other kids that were in the class with me, they heard my thing. They're like, oh my gosh, you have such a pretty voice. And I was like, really? I didn't believe it myself. I just was like, okay.
Yeah.
And it gradually developed into me really loving the part of singing. I really enjoy being in choir. I love the community of singers. And feeling like I was part of something. So I went from doing it in elementary school to middle school and then into high school. It was always a choir thing. And then it wasn't until like the last year of high school that I actually got into a band that was a death metal all-girl band.
Oh, damn. Okay.
Totally different from what I'm doing right now, but it was definitely a challenge. It wasn't anything that I was against because I was actually listening to rock and metal at the time. So I was like, yeah, this is sick.
Yeah,
I love it.
Yeah.
Thrashed my voice. My throat was never the same again. it did actually give me a very unique sound, I think, with my singing voice. It's evolved for sure because of everything that I've done to it and how I exercised it and stuff. But that's how I started with it. Yeah.
So I guess, well, one thing is you've always had a lovely voice, I'm guessing, because especially hearing you live, I was just like, damn, she can really sing. Like, I don't know if it was like the work of you, and I think I met your producer who created some of your songs too. And it was just like, how your voice blends into your beats, like it just flows so magically. Like I just I was hooked and I was just like in disbelief because I was like, what is happening? Like, it just sounded so good to me. So the fact that you've always had this voice, but like you said, you were, the word I'm thinking of right now is just limited, but I don't want to say limited, but you just haven't heard like different genres. You grew up listening to basically like Christian music, and then your brother helped like open this door for you into like, there's like a whole world out there. So like when you started listening to Linkin Park, Eminem, Evanescence, like when you listen to those artists and then comparing it to like the Christian music that you were listening to at that time, did that make you think like, oh my God, like the stories that they tell or the way they sing, like did that draw you into music or what was it?
Yeah, I never even thought about it like that, but I feel like it had a huge impact in how I thought about music and lyricism too. Mm-hmm. Because lyrics in, you know, Christian music or Catholic music and stuff, it's all just about the same thing. You know, we're all praising God, we're all worshiping him and stuff. But with the other artists that I started to listen to, I noticed that their lyrics were mostly about their internal struggle, their emotional baggage, things that they went through, like whether they were traumatizing or whether they were really happy moments they had.
Mm-hmm.
And that intrigued me. It made me connect with the music a lot more. As far as like the hymns and the gospel stuff, I couldn't really connect to it too much. You know, because when you're a kid, you don't really think about religion in the same way that adults do.
Yeah, definitely.
It's more like this thing that's imposed upon you, and you have no real choice. Mm-hmm. They just tell you, okay, we're going to listen to this or we're going to go to church and stuff.
Yeah.
And so when I had the actual choice to expand outside of it, I did pay attention a lot to what people were saying. And that lyrics became extremely important to me. And I think that also played a part in how I got into poetry when I got to middle school and high school.
Mm-hmm.
I started writing a lot in journals, and poetry just kind of was something that I started doing. I didn't even realize I was. Until one of my English teachers in high school was like, oh, you know, you actually have something really interesting here. Have you thought about like pursuing it? And so like people here and there just planting seeds in my head, I think, that eventually sprouted and got me to where I am now. Of course, there were a lot of things that time and now, because I'm a lot older at this point.
Yeah.
But for sure, I think now I've integrated that internally, subconsciously. You just kind of like brought it out, and I wasn't even really thinking about it. But yeah, it does have a lot to do with it.
I mean, that's funny that you say that, just because like I totally get what you mean too. When it comes to like, okay, people, like when you hear other people tell you that, you're kind of just like, oh, okay, it's just a compliment, it's no big deal. But then like part of you is just like, damn, you know, maybe I could take this a step further. I could do something with this. Like, it's not just a skill I have, like I could make use of it, right? Until like you're ready to make that step, right? But when it comes to like your background, and like you were just diving into like rock, and I saw some like 80s influences, like the Police and ABBA. Like, when you started listening to all these different genres, did you ever, like, at least that's how I'm thinking right now, like, okay, like I'm listening to this, like somehow connected with gospel music, whether it was like the way they sang it, or were you just kind of like, the more you discovered new sounds, the more you were like stepping away from gospel music and not really, you didn't make a connection between these other genres?
Yeah. Maybe in terms of my singing, I think I've always had kind of like a draw to gospel singing, because they sing so beautifully. I mean, when they sing together, it sounds, it moves you. At least that's my experience when I've heard a group of singers singing in that way. You just can't help but get emotional.
Yeah.
And that I always wanted to integrate that into my singing in some way, shape, or form. Because there's so many singers out in the world, right? The one way that people distinguish singers or even pay attention to them is if they make you feel something. Because if you don't feel anything and you're just, you know, a pretty voice, it doesn't really stay to people. And it's hard for people to really remember what your work and your art is done. So I needed a mission in myself to make sure that I could capture that and that I could interpret emotion for people through my voice.
That makes
sense. And then I think eventually I did kind of gear away from, you know, having both the Christian music and stuff somehow being connected to the new genres I was listening to. It really did taper off. I don't think that I like connected them too much.
Yeah.
As far as my singing, I did, but genre wise, I started to like go way out there. I was like, I want to listen to everything. I want to hear all of these sounds. And I think that really influenced my choice in beat and like deciding beats and who I wanted to work with musically.
Okay. No, that makes sense. I mean, you're right about that too. Like when you listen to gospel music, you do hear like beautiful vocals on there. Like I don't know why when you were talking about that I thought of Sister Act, because I would like watch that as a kid and I'll be like, yo, they're like singing hella good but they're having so much fun, or they're so emotional on stage, right? But I didn't really pay attention to the lyrics. It was just like the way they were acting in the movie and whatnot, right? And so like the more you discover new sounds, the more you're just like, oh, okay, like this is a different way of flowing, this is a different way of vocals, and you kind of just learn new styles of that in a way.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Different genres helped me to figure out different ranges of my voice too, and to really find my vocal style, because I copied a lot of different singers. You know, that's, I think every singer kind of goes through that beginning phase where you're still trying to figure out what your full sound is.
Right.
And a lot of people tend to emulate and copy the vocal styles of the artists they're very fond of and that they listen to a lot. So eventually, which, you know, and I think subconsciously too, I still kind of have a little bit of emulation from the singers that I admired and listened to for a long time. But I did end up sort of listening to music that didn't have so many vocals in them and not so many lyrics anymore. And I really just wanted to listen to the music and the instruments themselves, and how that made me feel and what it made me think about. Mm-hmm. But I became a lot more creative, and sometimes I would even make lyrics in my head for music I was listening to on like YouTube or Spotify. And that helped a lot. I didn't even know how to start when it came to writing songs. There wasn't, I didn't have like a legitimate teacher that was like, okay, well, if this is how the songs are set up, then, you know, you're going to have a verse, a chorus, a verse, and, you know, nothing like that. So
right.
I had to figure out my own way of incorporating my style of writing, which was poetry, and then adding that and making it somehow come together into a song. So that was challenging.
That seems challenging, at least for me, just because I've probably said this multiple times during like this podcast, but it's just like singers like you who also are songwriters, and you're just very open about your emotions. You're sharing like your thoughts, your feelings with, and you're sharing it with everyone, you know? And I'm just like, damn, I'm over here. Like if I get emotional, I'll like put myself in a little corner and I'll be all open and whatnot. So I'm just like, how do you do that? Like, that's so brave to me. You know what I mean?
It's actually been through a lot of time and a lot of exposure to audiences and people, because I was extremely shy. And I did mostly covers, you know, cover songs when, I mean, before as the band, and then same time through the band, I did a lot of cover songs. And that's how I satisfied my need to sing, because I always felt like I needed to. It was one thing that always made me happy. When I was sad, I would sing. When I was happy, I would sing. So it's just always been there. Gradually, when I started writing my own songs, the lyrics that I would write would just naturally be emotional and about something personal. I couldn't help it. It just kind of came out that way. There's, of course, like, there were some songs that I wrote that, and these never saw the light of day. The ones that I experimented with first when I was working with, like, a producer that was just trying to learn the ropes, and, you know, he was a beginner too, just kind of just like me. I wrote lyrics that were just like whatever, you know, they were just meant to kind of go along with the beat that he had, and sometimes it worked and sometimes it didn't. But eventually, when I discontinued making music with him, I still kept writing. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know, I want to make stuff that actually speaks to people and that moves people, and that's something they can connect to, because that's what music was for me.
Mm-hmm.
It was somebody somewhere else having a similar experience that I felt like I wasn't alone anymore, because there was someone out there in the world that had the same thoughts that I did or felt the same way I did.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted to make sure that I could be true to that. And it took a really long time. Like I said, just exposing myself over and over again and feeling okay with literally, I mean, from, I say literally, but I mean metaphorically, ripping yourself open in front of people and being like, look, this is me, this is what I've been through, and I hope you can be receptive to that. And I mean, thankfully, most of the time, people are, you know, like yourself, you're somebody that really resonated, I think, with the songs that I had. And I'm honestly just overjoyed that whenever people really do feel that connection, because that's all I really want the music that I make, is for people to feel that connectedness.
That's cute. I'm glad you stopped talking, because I was like almost ready to tear up. So... But no, that's really cute. I mean, I get what you mean, where it's like ripping out your heart, which I'm glad like you didn't like rip yourself apart literally, because that would be very bad. But no, it's kind of like ripping off the bandaid, right? To like you have to do it. You have to take that step. So might as well just do it now and get it over with. But I mean, like talking about your music, and especially about musicians that kind of influenced your sound. Like, I saw that so far, I could have miscounted, but you have 7 songs. You started in 2023. You have 7 songs right now. And I know when I listen to you live, I'm going to probably chop up her name, but her name's like Queen Naja. Queen, she sings Medicine, Butterflies, songs like that. When I saw you live, you reminded me of her, okay? And then I listened to About Us, and then I was just like, this song instantly reminded me of like I don't know if you sampled it or it's just like a similar type of beat, but it was like a song in the 2000s, and I was just like, yo, where am I right now? This is crazy, because I'm pretty sure it wasn't Paula Deanda, but I was like thinking Maya. I was thinking like it was so similar, and the way like your voice carries the beat, I was just like, this is so cool. And I don't know if you made like if you did that on purpose or not.
I did, actually.
Oh,
because when I heard the beat, that's what I thought. I was like, oh, this actually sounds like, you know, early 2000s music that I listened to and that my sister listened to a lot.
Yeah.
So there was, yeah, I can't remember the name of the group, but there was like a girl group at the time.
Uh-huh.
And they had music that was very, it wasn't like rap or anything, but it was fast-paced hip-hop. And the way that they sang was very like rapid pace. It sounded almost like they were rapping, but they were actually singing.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? I think that would work really well with this. So I went into it and I was like, you know what, let me just do it. I was just gonna try it out. And Zico, actually really talented musician, engineer, he does a lot of different stuff. He just kind of let me do my thing, and when I showed him what I had, he was like, okay, yeah, well, you know, let's do something with that.
Yeah.
And then he did his thing, and luckily I think it blended really well together. A lot of people mm-hmm. really like that song. Actually, I had a cute story because my sister ended up messaging, I think, like a couple weeks ago, and she's like, oh my God, yeah, because I have nieces too. And she was like, you know, me and the girls have been listening to About Us. We love that song. And I was like, really?
You're like, you helped me create it.
Yeah, literally, she really did. She would play that type of music for me too.
It was so crazy. Like right when I played it, and then it was like da 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 da, and I'm like, no, wait a second, I remember this somewhere. It was so cool, and you see that. That's I'm old. No, I'm just kidding, but I am. But I mean, it shows like on your streams too, like people really do enjoy that song. Like it's on Spotify, at least it's your number one song, which is pretty cool, especially since that was a song that was released this year. It wasn't last year. It was your second song. I mean, your first song released this year, actually, right?
Yeah, it was the first song released this year. There were a couple others that came out after. I think it was just like two other songs that I released afterwards, but I did that one in February, so.
That's very cool. And that's, I mean, you should be proud of that. I'm proud of you for that, because not only is it a good song, like you're getting the right attention that you deserve, right?
I'm happy about that. I'm just glad that people mess with the song.
They do. I feel like the more people hear it, especially, they're going to be like, oh my God, I've been sleeping on her. This is crazy. But I mean, are you releasing more music soon? Because I saw you release two songs for 2024, but are you releasing anything else?
Yeah, I've been busy working in the background, you could say. Not really talking too much about it, but I do have one song that's another single I'm going to release probably at the end of this month. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about 420, but I feel like, I've seen already so many people are releasing tracks on that day. So I'm like, you know what? I think I'm going to take a step back and maybe wait a little bit mm-hmm. and hold off. So I'll be releasing a song called Danger. I did with Universal Record. I've done a couple of songs. The one that you were playing earlier, Endless Five, he actually produced that track.
Oh, damn.
Really, really amazing, talented producer, too. He's so versatile, and he has this really awesome like neo funk sound in the style of the beats he has. But yeah, Dangerous is one that I've done with him, so that will be out at the end of the month. And then I have another song called Gravity that's probably going to be released at the end of May. That one's a very powerful and very deeply emotional song, so
get ready for that.
Yeah. But yeah, I have a lot of other, you know, hidden projects that I'm kind of keeping to myself for now, but I'm very excited for them to come to.
I mean, we got like two announcements, so that's something to look forward to, especially one being released this month. So that's pretty exciting. But
yeah.
I mean, when it comes to performing these new songs, are you going to be doing any performances anytime soon?
I am, actually. I have a couple like that for April. So there's one on the 19th that I'm doing at, I believe it's called Beverly Hotel. So that one's in LA. I have one on 420, which is the next day after that. For anybody that can't make it to the 19th, the one on the 20th is going to be up here in the valley. So it's at the Witch's Brew. So that's going to be with Panda and Daniel Molina, that they're part of KRMJ, the Valley radio station, pretty much, that people up here in the valley listen to.
Okay.
Yeah, they're pretty cool. I have some in May that are coming up May 3rd. That one's going to be for a showcase with a ton of other really talented artists, too, that are going to be there. Then that one's going to be at the Art Bar.
Sweet. So, I mean, like, yeah. Releases coming out soon. You have performances that are just back to back, basically. But I mean, for people to stay up to date, like, let's just say they forgot what they heard on this episode, where can they follow you at so they can stay up to date with all the releases and all the good stuff?
Yeah, my main social media is Instagram, because I barely have the patience to keep up with Instagram sometimes, let alone any other social media platform. So on Instagram, just, you know, Miss Clover, a moniker. And I usually post the performances and releases on my story. And then I'll have, like, actual posts on my profile for, like, the big, you know, release dates for the songs and stuff.
Okay. Cool. And we'll also attach links onto this episode, so they're just a click away. So whatever links you send me, Spotify, YouTube, all the good stuff, it's going to be attached to this episode, so we don't have to worry about that either.
Hey, awesome.
And now, before we go, I just want to ask you one final question. Why someone new, someone you've never met before, why should they give you a listen?
If somebody, I guess, now that you're posing the question, if anybody is looking for an artist that has genuine, like, really gut-wrenching music, but also music that's very fun and active and just has a very versatile kind of mixed bag of songs that anywhere from R&B to house dance music to more soul jazzy songs. And somebody that's also out of mainstream and not really, you know, not doing it because it's going to lead to some kind of huge monetary gain, but rather because, you know, there's a genuine love for music. I mean, that's over here. You know, everybody I work with, including myself, we all do it for the love of music, and it's our passion. That's why we're here.
There we go. So if you want to listen to songs that they would play at the club, and you want to be crying in the club, listen to you. You want to be happy in the club, listen to you, right?
All the emotions.
I love that. Okay. I mean, like, yeah, that was it for this episode. Thank you again for being down.
Thank you for having me on here, too. I am so honored that you would come up to me and want to speak to me and have a little moment to just chat. I really enjoyed it. This is great.
If you like this episode, don't forget to follow or subscribe for future episodes. And don't forget, you can follow us on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube at Culture Chords. Thanks for listening. Till next time.